Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.
So we're down to two. Macklin Celebrini either will be a San Jose Shark or a Chicago Blackhawk.
The first overall selection in the 2024 NHL draft belongs to the San Jose Sharks. Number two, Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, that was me. That was me getting all worked up. I'm like, Casey Kane, oh my God, everyone's going to be so mad at the Blackhawks. Let's go.
It almost happened.
I know.
It almost happened. Now, I wasn't watching live. I was at the ballpark, but following it on a little bit on the Twitter stream, my son was following it. So I wondered what happened. And
I immediately said, I'd rather have Connor Bedard than Macklin Celebrini.
Yes.
I'm happy they got this, and I'm happy what. But I'm not. I'm really upset, and I really wanted that kid.
I wouldn't be. I think there's reasons. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, and I don't know.
I'm greedy.
After Celebrini, necessarily, how far the drop-off is. But I would remind you, little piece of Blackhawk history here. Jonathan Toews was drafted third overall, and that was in 2006. You know what happened in 2007? Patrick Kane was taken first overall. So you have a first overall.
We're reversing it.
Yeah.
And you want them to trade down. Am I hearing that correct?
Point is, you can get a generational player, if you will, a guy like Jonathan Toews, and he doesn't have to be the first overall pick.
Oh, it's a really high pick.
It is.
The second pick in a draft.
Yeah.
You should celebrate it, and you should be so happy you're kind of skipping out of the room and then running like a thief in the night. I understand how I'm supposed to react, but I was disappointed in the moment.
I get that. I can definitely understand that. We'll talk to Kyle Davidson. The schedule is tomorrow, ideally. Exchange text yesterday. So 9 o'clock on Thursday, we'll hear from the Blackhawks GM.
And I also, it went through my head that Dustin believes that the NHL draft is fixed and that it was good for the NHL if the Blackhawks got the pick. So that was in the back of my head.
He said that, but I dismissed it.
I know you did, but it was in my, you know, unfortunately, the bad idea of that got into my brain.
Yeah, I know. I gave it all the weight it deserved.
Yeah, I unfortunately went through my head as I was watching that, and I was
I get that. You fall for that every now and then.
It's just my emotional reaction.
You take the bait.
I do take the bait.
A little bit.
You know, that's what you do, Dustin, is you put worms in brains. And
can I put that on a business card?
Yeah, brain warmer. Let's try Jeff. Jeff is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Proud to be the first caller to the new Triple D dining, or David's Dining Dilemmas. I got a thought on the Hawks with their second pick in the draft.
Okay.
I believe we chose a Michigan State defenseman years ago, mm-hmm. who was a two-way player by the name of Duncan Keith. And I think that would be a good selection because every time I turn on a Blackhawks game, it seems like they're down 1 or 2 nothing in the first 3 minutes of a game, and they're being outshot like 10-1. So if you can get a guy that can do both sides of the ice, I think it's a good choice as long as he rates that high as a number two pick. I'll shut up and listen.
Jeff, that's a good phone call. Going way back, 2002 draft, Duncan Keith, second round, 54th overall. That was a good pick.
Canadian, not a Belarusian.
Well, that's okay. Does he have to be from Belarus for you to be satisfied?
No, I'm just saying this kid's from Belarus. It sounds like he could be their guy, and it sounds like, you know, if you got a player that good, that you'd be laughing.
Do me a favor. By the time they draft in June, have a full scouting report on every Belarusian defenseman eligible in the draft.
Okay, I'll do it. John's on the road. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Good morning. So, at first I was disappointed with the Hawks landing second, but then I really reflected. So I was one of the folks last year when Bedard, when we got the one overall, I went and got season tickets.
Yeah.
First time in a long time. We went to about half the games. They looked better. It didn't feel like we finished close to the bottom or second to last, right? Where I felt like if we suffered through last season, I'd be really bummed. I feel like the arrow's really pointed up, and to your guys' point earlier, they're going to get somebody really good. There's a ton of talent in the pipeline, and I trust Davidson. So it would have been great to have Celebrini, but I feel like they could surprise some folks next year. So I'm excited to see what they do, and disappointed, but still feel real good about where the arrow's pointed with them. So thanks.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Good phone call.
Yeah, I agree. You got to be positive.
Back-to-back Blackhawk phone calls, interest in the draft lottery.
Yes.
Which is, I think, a product of you have a team that had the second worst season in the NHL, and yet there's excitement that exists because of Connor Bedard. You see a similar, I mean, it's different to compare the Blackhawks and the Bears, but you see a similar kind of hope building with the Bears. The Bears have hope because of the draft. Bedard has created this kind of anticipation you hear reflected in the people excited or maybe a little disappointed in the draft lottery. They were interested at all.
If the Bears wind up with the number two pick next year,
huh,
I don't think anyone's going to be happy.
No.
I think the Bears are it's a different situation because they're much farther along in terms of their rebuild. But I think you're right. I think we got to remember they're still the Bears should be better this year, and they should be better than that in 2025.
Absolutely true.
And 2026.
And these are two teams,
right,
that have opened up their championship,
yes,
windows a little bit wider, a little bit. They're going to be open a little bit longer because of the moves they made at the top of the draft. Caleb Williams,
yes,
is their Connor Bedard. Connor Bedard is their Caleb Williams.
Yes.
So you look at it that way, and there's a lot to be excited about. I think the back-to-back draft hauls, you look at last year and this,
yes,
year in terms of the Bears, position themselves to believe that they can win for an extended period of time.
I totally agree with that, and I think that it's going to be fun to kind of watch this unfold. The Blackhawks are just beginning, and they've got the cornerstone in Bedard, and now, you know, they've already drafted guys that will be coming up, but they have a lot of picks this year. They got the second pick and the 20th pick in the first round of the NHL draft. And they got, I believe, 3 second-rounders, right?
Yes.
They will be able to, you know, determine what you need, and they'll be able to fill that
stockpile
need.
Talent.
Yes.
And that's why you feel good about this organization moving forward. You know, frankly, that's why you feel good about the Bears organization moving forward.
Right.
And then here we have the Cubs. You feel, what did I say earlier today? It may not be a great team, but you believe in them because it's a great organization. Now, outside of the Jerry Reinsdorf-owned teams in town, you feel pretty good about the three others that are pursuing championships because they're getting closer, and you believe in the plan. You do. That's not meant to be mean.
No, but
it's just,
I mean,
an observation. The Bulls are stuck in neutral.
Yes.
The White Sox are moving backward. The Cubs and the Bears and the Blackhawks have reason to believe that a championship
that moving forward
is realistic in the next 3 to 5 years.
Don is in he's in Charlotte, but he's listening via the Odyssey app. Hey, Don, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I wanted to chime in on concessions pricing. So I'm a reporter for Venues Now, so we cover the business.
Oh.
And the hot dogs, Typically, they're the number one seller across baseball, except in Milwaukee, where brats top the list. So it's a critical piece of revenue for teams and the vendors. And the deals that concessionaires sign with teams, a lot of times they're revenue splits, and more teams are demanding greater than 50% of the revenue from every hot dog sold. So
that
it's
explains why the prices are what they are.
Right. And there's three things that generally determine the pricing and selection. A lot of it's sponsorship. So a team may sign a deal with Vienna Beef or Eisenberg or another company, and that largely drives the selection at the ballpark. And a lot of times the food vendor has no say in that deal. So that's one factor, along with size. So it depends on how many hot dogs you get in a pound, a quarter pounder, whether it could be hot dogs could be as small as 10 to a pound. And then, like I said, the commissions that the teams get are the third factor. So it's a big deal for the vendors and the teams.
Can we talk tipping for a second? I was just I've got to get this off my chest. I'm always confounded, and the problem is, like, when I go, oftentimes I'll be recognized, so I can't stiff anybody. But I'm not sure how I'm supposed to tip. Like David just said. That he spent $95 for three beers and three sandwiches. Are we supposed to give 20% on top of that?
Yes.
That's what I'm clarifying.
That's the pressure. So
I'm asking Don.
Oh, Don, what do you think?
Well, so, you know, coming out of COVID, everything's cashless now, right?
Yes.
You got to pay with a card. So, and that tipping mechanism automatically comes up now.
Thank you.
And it's kind of confusing. You don't know which one to press, or if you don't want to tip, you don't know which button to tip or to press. And then also they add sales tax on top of it now. So there is more revenue on the team and the concession side. But you're right. I mean, it's a tough thing for the fans, and you know, it's more money out of their pockets.
Thanks for the phone call.
Thank you, buddy.
Good insight.
That is so true. Because you're charging it, and then it comes up. Are you, hey, cheapskate, you want to give 12.5%?
Well, here's the thing, Molly. You said
15%
it. Okay. So last night, I just went through this last night. You know, I'm ordering dinner. I've got, you know, three beers and three sandwiches, essentially. You go to pay. It's all cashless. You get your card out. You see it on the screen. It's like 16%, 20%, 25%, and whatever. And you're looking at it, and he's looking at you, and he just told you how much he enjoys the show.
So you got to give him the highest tip.
Well, yeah, of course.
Thank God.
You don't want to say, well, geez.
Well, I don't, you know, he'd like the show less if he knew I was the only big
Molly
tipper.
And the Cheapskate. You don't want that. That's
you're
weekday mornings, 5:30
You're
to 10.
Not Molly.
I know, but okay.
So you tipped high just because the guy said hello to you. And,
okay. Because I'm imagining me walking away and him looking at how much I tipped.
I got to tell you.
So I got to go high.
And the problem now is, he's absolutely right, it's a COVID-driven problem. But I used to go in and get a sandwich at a place.
Mm-hmm.
Just get a sandwich, get a bag of chips, whatever, and get out of there. And you got to walk up, you got to open the door, you got to get your own sandwich, and then you grab some chips, and then you stand there and give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to tip 15%, 25%, or 30%. And I'm like, look at that. I'm like, what did you do?
But
tips. To ensure prop service. It's like, I don't know.
But then
there's
you feel
something,
like,
and then you're paying by credit card, so it's not like you're, hey, oh, you only got 10 bucks left.
You can't
no.
cry that way. You can't cry poor that way.
You're slowly going broke.
Yeah, but I know, but you wonder.
I know.
Here's what you want. You want to be able to say with confidence that those tips are being divided equitably.
Yes.
And they're not going straight to the man.
Right. Yeah. If I'm not tipping the man for overcharging me for a sandwich.
But I'm already overcharged.
Since you walked over here and rang it up while I put my card in the machine, I guess I got to give you some money. Huh?
It happens at every place
Everywhere you go now.
It's like lunch is extraordinarily more expensive than it used to be.
And we have a texter saying, if you have to order standing up, you don't need to tip. That used to be the case, but I don't know how you don't. When you know people and you go in someplace fairly often, you can't be known as the guy that
you can't.
You just can't.
You can't be the guy that walks in and they look at you.
Yeah, cheapskates here.
Okay.
Take your time walking over to help that
him
idiot.
Again. Whose turn is it?
There you go. Yeah, you know, you do it.
No, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So,
but it's a dilemma because it's a,
you know,
if you ever had any Catholic guilt in life, you would understand how bad you feel.
People are probably listening and thinking these guys have never been to, they don't go to games regularly as consumers or fans. And you'd
That's
be right.
True. No, we go to a lot of games.
We go to a lot of games, but a lot of them, we don't, I mean, there are a lot of games. I go to more games as a working than I probably not working.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fair. We have been to more games than more people. I don't know anyone, honestly, that has been to more collective games than the two of us.
Yeah, I don't.
I did it in my head one year. I think I went to 360 NBA games in a 3-year period.
That's a lot.
That's like a year of your life. I mean, it's like a year of your life. Some of them are out of town. The next day you might have off, but you're traveling. I'm just saying, that's a lot of. I spent a year of my life at an NBA game at one stretch, and that's just the NBA. So it adds up. I remember being at training camp, and training camp used to be like 5 weeks long, and Brian Harlan was figuring out that he'd spent a year and a half in Platteville or something, or you know, combined. And I was just like, wow. When you really look at it that way, if you're there
but you're
that
living
many
your life.
Years,
you're doing your
I
job.
I know, you do, then, and you have fun, and it's not like
it's not
bad.
Like you're imprisoned to the confines of Platteville or whatever municipality it is. I mean, that's the way you're living your life. You're doing your job, you're pursuing your career, and you're not complaining.
I love it. Guy wants to know if you just expensed everything because you were working.
No.
He wrote it off his taxes.
That'd be great.
Oh, wouldn't that be the dream? But it's fun to go to games. It's great. And I think you're right. I think you have a great understanding of what it must be like to go to that many games. I know a lot of guys that have season tickets or share season tickets, and the cost of that has obviously been driven higher and higher, but the cost of going to a game and the parking and the...
You know what it makes you more aware of is that, you know, for years we always... I think this is a typical sports writer, sports analyst, commentator, talk show host, whatever. You look at, well, geez, there's nobody at this game. What a lousy fan base. You look at White Sox crowds.
Right.
And they become easy to criticize because the ballpark is empty. And then you realize after going to a couple games, like, well... If you have to make a choice between, you know, each week, if you know, a lot of people are going paycheck to paycheck,
yes,
and whether it's
yes.
Sox fans or Cubs fans, it's the same sports fans in general. It's expensive to be a sports fan these days. It's more expensive
it's
than ever.
Expensive. You're right.
So you do have a little bit more, I don't want to say empathy, but you do have a little more understanding that the crowds the stadiums aren't always going to be full, and there's a good reason for that because a lot of the average fans are being priced out of the experience.
But I think if you're paying to go to the game last night and you're paying for concessions and parking, you add it all up, it was well worth the trip because you got a great show, you got a high-energy game, you got a walk-off home run, you got – the show to show. I'm just saying.
You bought a memory.
You
bought a memory, right. and it's somewhat priceless when you look at it that way. You're exactly right because it's one of those things, whether you were with your kids or with your family or whoever you're with, maybe you're by yourself with friends, you're going to remember Michael Bush going deep. You're going to remember Shota doing what he did. It was one of those nights that just early season, it just stands out as – it's going to be potentially a big moment in a great season. If not, then it's just a really cool experience.
Right. It's good.
Yeah,
it's
it was a lot
good
of fun.
Stuff. That's great. I'm glad you went, and I'm glad you had a good time, and I'm glad the game was that good. I don't know if we had gone to a game together on the South Side that we could say the same thing. I think it's a great experience to go to a game, to be outside, to be part of a crowd, to, you know, get, and again, I'll say it again, the Cell has great food, different options. I haven't had the milkshake yet, but I've heard great things. So I think that if you have just those experiences, and if you're bringing the kids and you go up to the deck where they can run the bases, that's a blast. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of fun with that. But it is a commitment, and you want the commitment on the other end. You want to have a team and an owner that believes that we should make this worth your effort, not, well, maybe we can finish in second place and we'll drag you out here. You don't want to feel like you're being taken advantage.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of the Sox fan challenge, because if you talk about going out now, the team is 20 games below 500, 8-28 after last night's loss.
28.
When they come home again, is that the good news or the bad news?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I'm definitely going to go to games. I've got games on the schedule. I look forward to going to games. But, and it is a but, you better be giving me a hockey jersey or something.
Something.
I'm just saying.
I mean, people went last night because I think it's Wrigley Field. It's difficult to
Wrigley
compare.
Wrigley, you go to every game.
But Shota,
not the same thing.
Imanaga was a draw. You wanted to see what all the fuss was about. You wanted to see a guy who's been called the best pitcher in baseball early in the early season. With the White Sox, I don't know what that would be. Who's the curiosity that you would, you know, change your plans to go watch a game at the ballpark? Garrett Crochet pitch, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
But Luis Robert hasn't played, and I don't know when he's coming back.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean,
so it goes back to the same old story.
Do you want to go out to the ballpark to see Tommy Pham not play? They gave him a day off yesterday.
Why did they give him a day off?
You know, we should let's discuss that when we come back. I want to talk about that because another Pedro moment. 312-644-6766.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
67, it's Mully and Haw on the Score.
What about your ups and downs offensively this year when it's not going good? What are you seeing not happening? Is it just a matter of the big hit not?
Yeah, it's just it's just a matter of us getting a big hit when we need it. I mean, we have bases loaded there, and you know, Sheets has been clutch for us all year long. He's been swinging the bat good. He was going to be really aggressive there and see if he can hit a ball in the gap or hit one in the seats. Like I said, he ran a two seamer on the outside part of the plate and he made a good pitch in a 3-0 count. You know, he was almost committed to, I'll give up one, but I won't give up four. You know, that type of mentality. And it looked that way because he made the perfect pitch.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Pedro Grifol after the game talking about the ups and downs of the offense.
Nice.
Really? Is
nice
that
music
what it
choice
is?
There. It's the up-down. It's Florida Georgia Line right there. Brandon Fryer, top of his game once again.
Oh, look at you.
More downs than ups. Tell me this, though. We want to pay off the tees quickly because it bothers me, and probably more than it should. Why would Tommy Pham need a day off?
Yeah, according to Pedro, you've got to be able to kind of he said he played three games, so we gave him a day off, and then he played four games. We've got to keep building him up. We're building him up, and then we got to keep him built up. And I mean, I'm sitting there I'm wondering.
Okay.
He had a home run the day before, but I'm wondering, like, what are you building him up for?
What are you building him up for?
For the trade deadline?
Yes. That's all you're worried about. You know how when we both have long histories of traveling and renting cars?
Yes.
When we travel. And you pull out of the lot and you may hit a pothole. And then you may hit another pothole. And then you may take a turn a little bit faster than you should and whatever. And what's the reflex? It's only a rental. It's only a rental. Big deal. It's not your car.
Well,
it's only a rental.
And that's,
you don't worry about running it into the ground. My point being, when you have a player like Tommy Pham, with due respect, he's not going to be here in August. And if he is, what's he doing here in August? You signed him to flip him. Get what you can out of him. Don't worry about wearing him out, running him down. If he's here to hit, let him hit. Let him play.
So our guy, Jay Cuda.
Yeah.
You ever, he's a great follow on Twitter, and he does a lot of breakdowns of stuff. Here we go. This is the White Sox. This is the tweet. White Sox league ranks this season. Thank you, Chris Getz and Pedro Grifol, for getting this team focused and back on track this year, like you guys said. Batting average 30th, OPB 30th, slugging percentage 30th, OPS 30th, walk rate 30th, WAR OBA 30th, pitches seen 30th, WAR 30th. I mean, you know, BABIP 30th, home runs 30th, runs, barrels 30th, barrel percentage 30th. There are only 30 teams in Major League Baseball. He's listed
last.
They are last in pretty much everything.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the ups and downs of the offense? And again, you know, there's a guy talking for an audience of one.
What are the ups?
What are you talking about?
What are the ups?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
They're all downs. It's all down.
I just
everything.
I can't see this continuing. I can't see them sustaining this.
Staying at 30th?
Well, no, they're going to stay at 30th. I can't see. I will be surprised if this losing continues and Pedro Grifol remains the manager all season long.
But you just can't. At some point, you have to notice that they're 30th. You have to notice that they're building up.
At some point, the rhetoric has to reflect the results.
Somebody tweeted or somebody responded to the tweet about Pedro talking about Tommy Pham. Someone responded saying, I bet Cal Ripken is delighted he never played for Pedro.
What's wrong with playing somebody every day? The Cubs are in the midst of 16 games in 16 days.
I know.
I want to go back and check. I need to do this. Maybe we can really quickly check this. Hasn't Nico Horner played pretty much every day? Some guys, why do you need a – it's baseball. No disrespect. I know it's a grueling sport.
Tommy Pham didn't have a training camp.
Come on, Molly.
You got to build him up. This was part of the build-up.
That's a lame excuse. Build up, ramp up. Professional athlete, he's a hitter.
Let's try John. John's in Joliet. Hey, John, how are you, pal?
Good morning, guys. You know, I've been going to games since the early 70s, and I have not missed a season. I mean, where I didn't go to a game.
Right.
And as you get older as a fan and you get frustrated because of things, the way things are going on, this was the first year I really thought I was not going to go to a game. I've had friends cancel their season tickets, and it's just, I think my reason for going to a game this year is probably to see a player on another team, but most of all, spend quality time with the family and with the grandkids.
Right.
And That's the only way that I can really get myself to motivate myself to go to that ballpark.
John, the milkshake.
It's a habit. It's a habit.
The milkshake, John.
Yeah.
The milkshake.
Have you had the milkshake, John?
Try that.
John's a good
son. I guess I will when I go see Otani.
There you go, buddy. Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
He's a good White Sox fan. He's a good Bears fan. We hear from John. That's tough. That is tough stuff when you feel, you know, ostracized by an organization. Like, they, you know, you get to a point where, I mean, why, again, Chris Getz, he was promoted because, well, he's going to help the rebuild work faster. What are they doing? What, I mean, look at every one of these numbers. They're the worst in baseball at pretty much everything.
Yeah. there's very little
they're not fielding,
reason to pay attention, let alone talk about them.
For a long period of time.
And poor Ozzie. We're going to talk to
Ozzie, we're going to talk to soon.
You can hear the frustration, and it's May 8th, and after the game last night, you could hear the frustration just in what he is facing and what's ahead of him, because he bleeds white. He is part of this organization. He's part of what people, you know, a very special time in White Sox history, and it's agony for him to call these to share his opinion after every game.
Yeah, it feels like they care, but we're not seeing any ramifications, any like accountability. Like, oh, you are batting 150. Maybe you shouldn't be batting fourth. Maybe you shouldn't be batting third.
Accountable.
Maybe you shouldn't be batting second. You should be batting seventh or eighth.
Was it just that they were accountable?
Accountable.
They say that every day. They're lying. They're not accountable. They don't. I'm sorry. Yes, they don't. They're not. I told my wife yesterday, last night I get home, I was like, are you okay? I said, no. I'm tired of watching this thing every day in, day out. I can pay, yes. But I'm a White Sox fan, bro. I'm sorry. But the first time I walked to my house last night, you can call Evie's right now, and I'm like, you okay? I went take my clothes off, put my pajamas on, and say, you know what I mean? It's just sad to see this thing.
Where it is right now.
Stinky night.
I mean, seriously, that's a difficult job.
It's tough.
It's hard to watch.
Do you think Ozzie has White Sox pajamas?
No, I picture Ozzie having like I think he looks like Hef when he wears his pajamas,
silk,
right?
Silk robe.
He could do a TV show in them. Let's try Jeff. Jeff's downtown. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I just wanted to follow up on your tweet reading about the Sox being 30th in every category. Yeah. The worst part is, and this is so Reinsdorfian, they can be the worst team in 100 years of baseball, and they're not allowed to get a top five pick.
Yeah, that's right.
The losingest or not?
Yeah, it's totally true. So because the White Sox aren't over the tax threshold, they're not paying anything because they're not investing in their team, basically. And they tell you they don't want you to pay the tax. They have a tax there. They want you to pay the tax because the new rules of baseball state that they will pick, I think, fourth in this year's draft, fifth maybe? Maybe it's fifth.
I think it's fifth.
Yeah. Because of that, they can't pick in the top 10 next year. So you're going to be the worst team in every category. And you're going to pick, you're going to be stuck outside. There's no reward.
It's a good rule, though.
It's to end the idea of teams purposely stinking in order to get drafted.
The way the Astros did, the way the Cubs did, the way teams have successfully manipulated the system to win championships.
So as we just heard from Jeff,
yeah,
no payout, no payoff, nothing. You're bad and you get nothing.
Oh, no, you have to demand competence. What a concept.
Oh, boy.
And accountability, not to trigger Ozzie again. By the way, to pay off the tease, Mully.
Oh, my God, I'm upset.
You get a little bit triggered. Deep breaths.
You're getting me.
Deep breaths. Nico Hoerner has played in every game since April 23rd. Every day, Nico Hoerner goes to work, sees his name in the lineup, and produces. Nico Hoerner is workmanlike in that approach. He's not alone, but when you talk about guys needing days off after three games in a row, goodness sakes.
Sean's on the road. Hey, Sean.
I keep thinking about what you're talking about, and I was raised with these ball players. I remember watching Frank and Roger Clemens throwing at Frank's head, and the very next pitch, Frank hit right back at Roger's belt. And there's nothing that we can see. There's nothing worth watching. There's no player to attract you to come in. And then the whole shooting last year that's still unsolved. I can't justify giving them any money.
God, I
hear you
about that.
I hear you.
The great mystery.
Absurd. There's so many things that are absurd about the White Sox now.
No, they're just.
It's a shame.
Yeah,
it's a pity.
It's good to see Clevinger back. Mike's on the road. Hey, Mike.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm longing for the game.
Doing well, Mike.
When you would go out to the outfield and take a shower.
It's a great morning, Mike.
Listen, I've been a White Sox fan since I was a kid. And one thing that really irritates me between the Sox and the Cubs, when the White Sox need to upgrade, they don't, or they try to do it within. And within really doesn't have the talent to do what they have to do. When the Cubs need an upgrade, they go outside the organization and they bring in somebody who knows pitching, who knows hitting. And it's just irritating. Reinsdorf is crying for money, but, you know, here, Wrigley guys, they paid their own way on Wrigley Field. Yeah.
Tell
that to Kevin Warren.
And thanks for the call.
Thanks for the phone call.
It's night and day. It's incomparable. You can't. I mean, that's
the experiences have become so dramatically different.
And the
outlooks have become so dramatically different that the contrast has never been more stark than it is right now. Maybe that's exaggeration because you can't speak to what it was like at different times in the respective histories. But it seems like it'd be hard to imagine the Sox and the Cubs having such a time where their outlooks were so very different and headed in opposite directions.
Fantasy Camp Don is on the road. Hey, Don.
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
All right, well, I got a correlation here, and maybe this can help these callers call it in about this. I've done White Sox Fantasy Camp since 04 until they kind of phased it out. And when they phased it out, they did it gradually until they just stopped it. Well, after that, I did. They were doing them with the Dodgers for about 5 years. I joined the Dodgers camp, and then I did the Red Sox camp here in Fort Myers. The difference between the organizations is telling because it's consistent. They just didn't care about their fans and their camps, and they just, like, phased it out. While the Dodgers, the Red Sox, and that's all I know, their organizations are top-notch. So there is no surprise on what's going on with the White Sox. And it is exhausting. It's disappointing. It's frustrating. But for some reason, they just don't want to go the extra mile. I mean,
and thanks for the call, Dom. Look, they didn't do the convention thing. You know why? Because everybody would have given them an earful.
FanFest, White Sox convention, yeah.
They canceled it ostensibly due to COVID.
Yeah.
And this year?
They could have done it, but it's coming back, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. There was no, but it's a matter of respect. You have to respect your fans, and that's a sign that they didn't, and it's something that has been. It's a reason to question everything. You're right. I'm not going to argue with that at all.
No, I think a lot of people are angry, and I think they're right to be.
Let's get back to the Cubs.
Yeah,
I want to ask you a question about the Craig Council decision in the eighth inning that received a lot of consternation.
Okay, we'll be right back on the score. 312-644-6767, Mullion Hall.
Show them what you got.
What were the conversations like with Dane Hill after the seventh to send him back out?
Yeah, I mean, I told him he's going out there for a couple hitters. I thought, you know, we were kind of anticipating Arias coming in. And so, that was what the matchup that we wanted. And, you know, he hit a ground ball through the hole, and the other guy hit a good pitch.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. Score, that is Craig Council talking about the decision to leave Shota Imanaga in the game after he pitched seven innings. So he goes into the eighth and, seeing eye single, home run, and that's the end of his night. And you go from one to nothing to being down 2-1.
It was unusual because Craig Council had received, I don't want to say criticism, but one of the questions that had come up about his usage of pitchers and the staff and all of the starting pitching, which has been outstanding for the Cubs. One of the best starting rotations, one of the best starting staffs, I guess, in all of baseball in the first month of the season. But can you push him a little longer? Can he go a little more? And it was surprising because Shota Imanaga was somebody that they have talked openly about being very careful with. So after seven good innings, you thought, all right, let's go to the bullpen. Let's see what you got. They can't blow it now, right? He came out for the eighth, and he nearly blew it.
Yeah.
And you started to wonder, is this a good idea? If they had lost that game, as Dustin and we talked about in the first segment, today would have been about Craig Counsell and that decision.
But I think, and I totally agree with you, if they lost that game, we'd be talking about Craig Counsell. But I think we'd be talking about Craig Counsell has no faith in anyone in his bullpen. Craig Counsell is sticking with his starter because it's only a one-run lead. They got the Bellinger homer. And he's sticking with that because he doesn't really have a choice. Why bring in someone to lose the game? So you stay with Shota, and unfortunately you lose the game. That's what we would be talking about. I don't think we'd be ripping Craig Counsell. I think we'd be more talking about the bullpen, and he now doesn't trust it at all.
Fair enough. I think that's probably would have been the responsible reaction to that. I don't know that it would have been something you'd hear a lot.
Dustin hardly ever responds.
Well, no, I'm not saying Dustin necessarily, but I think it's your visceral reaction to a managerial move that backfires or is that he loses the game. That's a Counsell loss, and you'd be upset about it. And that's everyone would have a right to their own opinion. But I think what it reminded us of, at least, they did win the game, all's well that ends well, but also that, you know, this is a long season, and I think Craig Counsell will make decisions over the course of it that
are going to be better than worse.
Yeah, they're going to be more good ones than bad ones. But I also think that as it pertains to the bullpen, as you said before the game, you said on this on the afternoon show too, that it's these are the guys you got, and you're going to have to live with some of the choices sometimes. And last night was one that it turned out to be a victory. But it was curious at the time, and I think that a lot of people first guessed that one. Like, what's he doing out there for the eighth inning?
Yeah.
And what about – you just said you're going to trust the bullpen. Why aren't you trusting the bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, so then in the bottom of the eighth, you know, Tautman walks to lead off the eighth inning, the dreaded leadoff walk. That was huge. He moves to third thanks to Bellinger's third hit of the game. That was huge. And then he scores the tying run on a sacrifice fly from Christopher Morel. Again, that they created a run to tie the game and then set up what was the walk-off home run by Michael Busch. So they end up winning the game 3-2, and we're talking about how good Shota was and how good they are and how they win close games. But you're right. The conversation would have been significantly different if that hadn't happened.
Well, I think Mike Tauchman has been a godsend, and I don't think anybody – remember back during spring training, there was some conversation when he was guaranteed a spot on the roster, and some people were like, well, that's something. He didn't even have to earn it. And I think you're seeing why there was just that ready and quick belief in what he has to do, what he does and brings. He grinds out at bats. He's very selective at the plate. He's a plus defender, and he comes through in the clutch. And without him – losing Bellinger and Suzuki would have been an entirely different equation and different begin start to this season. He's been great.
Can I ask you a question? When he was on the score and he basically said that we have to stick with this bullpen, there's nothing we can do about it, was he echoing what Jed said about the idea that it's too early to make a trade? And by sticking with Shota, was he sending a subtle message, make the trade?
I do think that it was probably – in concert with what Jed Hoyer said about it's too early to make a trade, you look around and you take a deep breath. You said they're probably right because you know what? If you add somebody to this mix, you want it to be a difference maker. You don't want to add somebody just to add somebody.
Right.
And in those kind of guys may not be available right now. So I get what they're saying. So I think that was definitely they're cohesive in their messaging. As far as the second part of it, I don't think Craig Counsell plays games that way. I don't think he sends messages to the front office by moves that he makes during the games. I don't think that's the way he's wired. I don't think he's ever been wired that way. So, no, I would not say that.
All right, 312-644-6767. Ozzy will join us next. Ozzy Guillen will come on. We'll talk to him. And poor Ozzy. We'll, you know, maybe we'll just talk Pidyamas, find out how silky his jammies are. I imagine. Do you wear pajamas? Do you like pajamas?
No.
Do you
have nice I'm not pajamas? A pajama guy. Do I seem like a pajama guy?
Do I seem like a pajama guy?
Yeah.
I have pajamas. Yeah. I have these, I think, is it? I don't know the name of them. Someone bought me. Probably my wife.
I just picture you with like a glass of milk and cookies.
Thank you,
sitting
buddy.
In your pajamas and in your recliner.
I have like the nicest, like it's almost like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's just lovely.
Embroidered.
They're not.
They're embroidered.
They're not. It's like a t-shirt type thing and a pair of long pants. And in the summer, the pants are short.
I'm good. I'm done with that imagery. You, all right.
They are phenomenal.
We got to get to break.
I love my pajamas. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 Score. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.